Now the most important part of the of my sermon, where I set my watch so I don't go too long. Okay. Of course, you may be wondering what I consider is too long. Probably used to be an hour, but now it's more like 50 minutes. So I'll be watching. What a wonderful feast this is. Yes, I could stand up here and thank John Miller, but he would know that he's just one of many, many, many people who are serving. And thank you to all of you who serve. Everybody in the back or right up here on this table or anywhere. My first feast was 1959, and I was 19. It was amazing. I mean, I did not know about the feast. I knew about the Sabbath. And I had gone to regular university and found out about the Sabbath. Well, Clemson University had Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes, and Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday classes. And there were 2 weeks left in the first semester. So I immediately dropped out and went down to the University of South Carolina, which always agreed with Clemson that anything you had, any credits you had, that they would accept. And they didn't have Saturday classes, but it turned out they had some Saturday exams. And I got an F because I did not go to take that exam. Now, let me tell you, my father was not happy. He was a colonel in the army, and he believed working any day is fine. And he looked at my report card and he said, "You gave up." Well, I didn't bother explaining everything to him. I just decided not to go back either to Clemson or University of South Carolina, but to apply for Ambassador College. That's when he said, I'll pay your way to any university where you can learn to make a living. He assumed if you went to Ambassador College, you're not going to learn how to make a living. But what a wonderful gift it was to go there. And I knew about the Sabbath, but I didn't know about the feast days. And they said, "We're leaving for Big Sandy, Texas, to keep..." Actually, they called it Gladewater, because the building, tabernacle building as we had it, was between the two. It was closer to Big Sandy, but Big Sandy was so small that they called it Gladewater. And I sat there absolutely stunned, hearing the messages, the wonderful messages about the wonderful world tomorrow. It was just so amazing. What a happy thing. As I said, I was 19 years old. Yes, 19. Well, now I'm in my mid-80s, but I'm still here. And I'm so glad to be keeping the feast with you. I went to that feast, and Herbert Armstrong was still very strong and healthy. Strong voice. "Well, brethren, why are we here?" How many of you have ever heard him say that? There you go. It was wonderful. I knew about the Sabbath. I didn't know about all these other things. And it was so wonderful. Now, I could ask you, if this were a smaller group, I would ask you, what is your favorite Feast of Tabernacles, World Tomorrow scripture? And you could, we're a little too large to do that. But Usually, almost the first one that comes up when I do that, and I've done that in Africa, where we had smaller groups, say, what's your favorite scripture for the world tomorrow? Well, if it isn't first, it's very soon somebody says Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 12. So I'm going to turn to Isaiah 11 and verses 1 through 12. I don't go to Africa anymore. I'd love to. Just a little hard on this old man. I was born 1940, so I'm old. This feast celebrates the return of Jesus Christ and the setting up of his kingdom. And Isaiah 11 celebrates that. Verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. And that was David. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Jesus. Verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. That is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor. Now that is not Jesus' first coming. He did help the poor, but this is when he's going to judge. And that's in his second coming. He shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. That hasn't happened yet. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Well, it sounds pretty rough, but let me tell you, it's going to be a lot better to have 1,000 years without having the wicked to be there at the beginning. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't love everybody that has ever lived. But they're going to have to learn. And one way you learn is to have God kill you and then later resurrect you. You know, you really understand the power of God when he kills you and then he resurrects you and gives you a chance to live for 100 years. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf, now this is not Jesus' first coming, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Won't that be wonderful? The only time we see that now is in paintings and drawings. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. There's going to be a big change in dietary. I don't know how much God's going to change the inside. I don't know if he's going to give them the same kind of digestive system as a cow, or if he's just going to miraculously let them have the same stomach that they've been eating meat with and let the straw digest. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Now, I realize that God is going to miraculously protect those children and change the way vipers are. But I can assure you that the majority of mothers will not like it anyway. Get your hand out of that hole. Verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Wow. That's a big change. You know, animals that are carnivores are going to have to all have their temperament changed. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That's sure not today. Now, there's the knowledge of the Lord in this tent and some other groups. And even those who don't know which day God wants us to keep, many of them are very dedicated and are doing their best. And they have knowledge of God in many things. They know not to kill. Well, some who are in other groups believe it's okay in the army. Though earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. What a thought. As the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him. And his resting place shall be glorious. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria. Many think that's Germany. And Egypt, and Pathros, and Cush. Cush is talking about Africa. The Hebrew word Cush means black. And let me tell you, I served in Africa quite often. I love the people of Africa. Nigeria, Ghana, went there every other year for the feast. And I just love those people. From Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. Doesn't that sound wonderful? He will set up a banner for the nations. It's a welcome banner. And will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, I just have a question. All of you have heard that verse before, right? Well, 90% of you. Do you have a favorite World Tomorrow Feast of Tabernacles scripture? I mean, I think that's mine. Anybody else? Oh, my wife. There you go. Thank you, honey. Yes, that's good. I love those scriptures. It's talking about a time of peace for the whole world. Let me tell you, there are a lot of places on this earth that need peace, that need protection. Dogs will not be biting. I mean, if the wolf is going to eat straw, and the lion, what a change that will bring about. What a change that will bring about on this earth. And that's what we are here celebrating. You are celebrating that kingdom. Now, it didn't come as soon as I had hoped. My first feast was 1959. I was 19. I had already been to Clemson University studying engineering. But I began listening to The World Tomorrow. I had my grandmother's 36 Plymouth, and I'd put a radio in it, and I'd go out at night and listen to The World Tomorrow. I could pick it up. And I started ordering things. Well, 2 weeks before the end of that first semester, 1958, and I was 18, I got the booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? Well, Clemson had Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes, but they also had Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday classes. And I had one or two, but it was only a couple of weeks to the end of the semester. So I dropped out of Clemson. I didn't go. I did not go to those classes on Saturday. But you could easily transfer from Clemson to the University of South Carolina, your credits. So I dropped out, got in my grandmother's 36 Plymouth, drove down to Columbia, already, and entered into the University of South Carolina. And they didn't have Saturday classes. Ah, they had exams. I was so discouraged that I just dropped out of the University of South Carolina, too. I'd already learned about Ambassador College, and I thought, well, there is a college that does not have classes or exams on Saturday. So 1959, my parents had moved out to California. Dad was an officer in the Army, and he was at Fort Ord. So I got there, and then I got a bus to go down to Ambassador. What a joy. And I got there. I didn't know about the Feast of Tabernacles. Knew about the Sabbath. And they said, we're leaving. Here, I was at Ambassador College. We're leaving in a few weeks for Gladewater. Now, most of us know it as Big Sandy, but really the campus is in between the two. And Big Sandy was a little, I think it had one stoplight, maybe two. But Gladewater was bigger, so they called it Gladewater for a while. Then they began calling it Big Sandy later. That was the most amazing experience, to sit there and listen to Herbert Armstrong, who stood up and said, "Why, brethren, why are we here?" And then he told. And Garner Ted and Dr. Hay, Charles Dorothy, all of these wonderful messages about the wonderful world tomorrow. I was stunned that God was going to bring a wonderful world tomorrow. That's what we're here celebrating. Of peace, Jesus will be on the earth. Angels will be on the earth. You will be on the earth. Of course, you're thinking, I'm on the earth now. But you won't be sitting there in these physical bodies. God is going to give us incredible spiritual bodies, resurrect us in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And you'll be able to teach. You won't get tired. Isn't that something? You won't get tired. You'll feel good all the time. And you'll have an opportunity to change the whole world. This whole world needs changing. There's a lot of sadness. There's a lot of sorrow. It's filled with, even in North America, in the United States, it's filled with hospitals, car wrecks. There's not a lot of healing going on from God. But God says he's going to answer before they even ask in the world tomorrow. Before you even ask, I will answer. Can you imagine a world without sickness, where God heals? God could heal everybody right now. You'd say, well, I could use some healing. You could use some healing. But we would stand out like sore thumbs if God just healed every one of us. And we actually learn from being sick, and it builds faith. Well, let's look at Isaiah 32. I just want to read the first two verses. What a difference this is going to be from the world today. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness. That's Jesus. And princes will rule with justice. A man... Well, today if a lady is out walking at night or her car breaks down and she's there and then a car pulls up behind, maybe it's not a very busy road, she's going to have some trepidation. A lot of men in this world are very, very dangerous. Totally selfish. Think nothing of raping and killing a woman. What a horrible thought. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place. Boy, rivers of water in a dry place are very nice. As the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Is where it's hot and you get in that shadow and it's cooler. How pleasant that is. That's the way it's going to be. Hosea chapter 2, verse 18. And I'll read from 18 down to the end of the chapter. He's talking to Israel, but eventually all people. I will betroth you to me forever. I'm going to marry you. God says, Jesus, yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. What's it like to be married to God? What a blessing. Have your husband, your protector, be God, be Jesus. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Wow, this is a world that really needs to know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, That's a little rain. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. The deserts are going to blossom. I'd go over to Africa and serve in Nigeria and Ghana, and then get in a plane and fly up to Europe. And you go across the Sahara Desert. We say Sahara, but Sahara. And I mean, it is really dead looking. But if it gets rain, they say if you water it, it becomes very fertile and springs up green. I will answer the heavens, they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, with new wine, and with oil. That sounds good to me. They shall answer Jezreel, which my margin says means God will see. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. There are a lot of nations on this earth that need mercy and have not obtained it. But they all will when Jesus is here. That's what we're celebrating. The world tomorrow, the wonderful world tomorrow. I'll say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ, you know this, was not just a Savior, he was also a prophet. I think some people who consider themselves Christians don't know that Jesus was a prophet. They should. Maybe they do. Matthew 24. Verses 3 through 14. I get a little emotional because I've been to Africa so often. Africa needs God's kingdom. Terribly. Terribly. Matthew 24, we'll start in verse 3 and read down to verse 14. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, you've heard this many times, haven't you? Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is interesting. First thing he says to them, when they're asking about the end of the age, the world tomorrow, take heed that no one deceives you. We live in a deceived world. I was terribly deceived. As I said, I was at Clemson and heard the world tomorrow, and I just was amazed at what this man would say. And then I wrote for the book, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? And as I said, I dropped out of Clemson because you couldn't keep the Sabbath at Clemson. Sure did not make my father happy. He graduated from Clemson. My older brother graduated from Clemson. Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Now, it would be easy to read that as if the person would be saying, I am the Christ, me. But Jesus is the one saying this. What he's saying is many would come and say that Jesus was the Christ. He said, they will say that I am the Christ, and he is the Christ, and deceive many. Preaching Jesus and deceiving many? Saying he's the Christ and deceive many? And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You know, these go along with the seals in the book of Revelation. Matter of fact, the first one I read, verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you, is the first seal of the book of Revelation. Prophets coming to deceive. And then, verse 6, wars and rumors of wars, the same as the second seal in the book of Revelation. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. Anybody know what that is in the book of Revelation? It's the third seal. Pestilences, that's the fourth seal in the book of Revelation. Earthquakes in various places, that was not one of the seals, but it is in the book of Revelation later. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. The fifth seal in the book of Revelation. It's amazing. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. I hope that's not us, but it could be. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. They had love. They had love. We've got to be careful. We have love. Let me get where I am. Okay. I want to go down to verse. Well, I'll read this. The God, verse 13, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And verse 14, then this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. We almost, I thought we were going to have that some time ago, but we didn't. But you know, the disciples thought it was going to be in their lifetime. And it wasn't, not even close. God makes us have faith. Faith is something that you don't see, but you have faith in. I don't have faith that you're out there. I can see you. I know you're there. But there are some things we have to have faith in. And so that's part of it, right there. I want to go to verse 29. Is that a fly on my head? There are a few of them in here. I want to read verse Matthew 24, verse 29 through verse 31. Here's the sixth seal of Revelation. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, obviously, that's not a technical star. That's going to be like a meteorite. If a star way off, like the sun, hit the earth, it'd be all over. So these are the stars that are the meteorites. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. You know, you're thinking, when I see that, I'm not going to mourn. I'm going to rejoice. And it's just amazing that a lot of nations will be very unhappy when they see this mighty, powerful Jesus Christ come, put down their rulership. It's wonderful that we can see that. Verse 31. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. That's the seventh seal of Revelation. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's for protection of his elect. Well, I thought I was going to be alive when this happened. But you know, when you're 85, you don't know how long you're going to have. That's right. I mean, I thought my first wife would be there, but she died at age 75. I cried for a year. And I thought, what would Lucretia say if she could see me moping for a whole year? She'd say, Fred, quit moping and get a life. Well, now I went to the feast, Panama City Beach, and this sweet lady with a sweet smile came up to thank me for a sermon. And she was so sweet. And before the feast was over, I asked if we could discuss marriage. Right there, you'd say, isn't that pretty fast? Would you recommend that? Well, when you were our ages, you don't know how long you've got. So we got married quickly, and I've had two happy marriages. Did I tell you before that in the world tomorrow, when Lucretia is resurrected and Renee will go up to her and say, Lucretia, I'm so happy to meet you. After you died, I married Fred. And I said, Lucretia will say, oh, you poor thing. Renee said, she won't say that. My daughter, Debbie, was listening, said, yes, she will. Happily, then Debbie said, my mother had a good sense of humor. So, that'd be good. Well, let me look at my watch. Oh, we still got a little bit of time. Not a lot. Let's go to Revelation 19 and verse 11. I'm getting to it. Revelation 19 and verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. A righteous war. And judges with fairness. He's not going to hurt people that are going to be submissive. It's only those nations that do not want to submit to the righteous kingdom that are going to have problems with Jesus. In righteousness, he judges and makes war. There haven't been many righteous wars. I remember World War II, and we looked on that as a righteous war. So, I think I said my first feast was 1959. Big Sandy. Were any of you in the feast that year? Kept the feast? I don't see a hand. Huh? Gordon. Yes, Gordon. You were there. What was your first feast? 58. 58. That's wonderful. All right. And did you hear what he said? He said probably his best feast because that's where he met his bride. So I was there in 59. You were there a year before me. You were there a year before I was.
I have the privilege of escorting four widow ladies, and that was like herding cats.
If you didn't hear that back there, he said he had the privilege of escorting four ladies, and it was like herding cats. What a blessing it is to have Gordon here. Thank you, Gordon. Well, let me look at my watch. I want to go to Jeremiah 31. And read verses 2, 3, and 4. And then we'll read some others. Thus says the Lord, the people who survive the sword, that's in the Great Tribulation, found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. You know, the people who survived the sword are probably going to think, well, this has not been a very loving time. So many of my friends got killed, and I barely survived the sword. Verse 4. Again, I will build you. This is the world tomorrow. This is that happy time. And you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines and shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful world tomorrow? Young people, I say young, maybe some old too, with tambourines and dancing and singing, laughing, loving. What a wonderful time. And then, Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34. Jeremiah, I'll say it again, 31, verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Here's the difference in the next verse. Because the next verse is the covenant he has made with you and me. When he took them out of Egypt, he did not give them his spirit of love and joy and peace, of obedience, faithfulness. But he's given it to us. Here's what he says. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. Well, it landed on my Bible, but it flew again. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That's what God is doing with us. What a difference. They didn't just have it written and heard it. He's putting it in the hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. How much better is that than the old covenant? And that's coming when Jesus returns. And that's going to be available for every man and woman on earth who wants it and is willing to repent and change and grow. It's the wonderful world tomorrow of joy. There'll be no two flies. Okay. I took a shower last night. All right, it's been 47 minutes. Sometimes I'll go 50. But I just want to say how thankful I am to be here with you. Thankful for the Millers, but the Millers would say they're just instructing and directing. All those people sitting in this right here with the sound system. Yes, and you too. Yes. You go around hugging people. Yes. And so many who are here in the back serving. Thank you. I'm sure John and Mary are so thankful. Susan, are so thankful to have you here serving. So, thank you for coming to God's wonderful Feast of Tabernacles. God bless you.